Deception. Your mind is the scene of the crime. A play in five acts by Ned McFeely. This audio edition and the PDF version are free to share and distribute. Visit wisefoolpress.com, jedmckenna.com and jedveda.com to learn more about the Enlightenment Trilogy, the Dreamstate Trilogy and the Jed Talks Trilogy by Jed McKenna in print, ebook and audiobook editions. Thank you. Deception, Act 1. Opium Den. Dom and Ariadne strolling along crowded city sidewalks. Dom. Let me ask you a question, you never really remember the beginning of a dream, do you? You always wind up right in the middle of what's going on, right? Ariadne. Yeah, I guess. Dom. So how did we get here? Ariadne. I took an Uber from the airport. Dom. No, I mean to this world, this body, this universe. Think about it, how did you get here? Where are you right now? Where were you before? Ariadne. You mean, I'm dreaming right now? She gestures to their surroundings. But it's all so real. Dom. It seems real, but how can you judge? Ariadne. I can judge because I'm conscious. Dom. I have a t-shirt that says I am conscious, but it's not conscious, it's a t-shirt. Ariadne. Yeah, but I'm not a t-shirt. Dom. I have another t-shirt that says I'm not a t-shirt, but it is a t-shirt. Ariadne. So what's your point? That you have a lot of weird t-shirts? Dom. The fact that you're in a dream doesn't mean you're the dreamer. Maybe your entire reality is being generated by an evil demon which is really just a few lines of malicious code and a sentient mainframe. Ariadne. So I could just be a computer bug? Dom. We think the AI revolution is coming, but maybe it already came and we lost. Who knows? Nobody knows anything. Ariadne. I don't know, I'm a pretty spiritual person and I've never heard anything like that. Dom. Come on, I'll show you something. Dom leads Ariadne down a long dark stairway into a smoky, labyrinthine lair. Above the entrance is a sign that says New Ma Tiki Agora. Ariadne. Geez, it looks like an opium den. What does New Ma Tiki Agora mean? Dom. Depends who you ask. It's either spiritual marketplace or village of flatulence. The catacombs are lit by candles and divided by hanging wisps of tattered veil. The sound of chanting echoes hauntingly through incense-filled air. People sit in groups and talk about waking up. Some turn and stare at Ariadne. Ariadne. Why are they looking at me? Dom. They think you're going to upset their delicate balance. They're afraid you're going to try to wake them up. Ariadne. You mean, all these people are asleep right now? Dom. Depends who you ask. If they're asleep, are they really people? If they're not awake, how are they better than cattle? Ariadne. But they're not cattle, they're people. Dom. So is Soylent Green. Ariadne. What can we do to end their suffering? Dom. They're not suffering, that's the point. They're happy down here in the dark. You want to be an angel and set them free, but they'll see you as a demon trying to destroy them. Ariadne. But look at what they're doing. Meditating, chanting, worshipping pictures and praying to statues. They want to wake up. Dom. No one wants to wake up. It's just a game to pass the time. Ariadne. Then why are they even here? Dom. This is their safe space. At some point, they opened their eyes a little and some light got in, so now they huddle in the darkness pretending to seek what they're actually hiding from. Ariadne. That's so sad. Dom. Not really, it's just another form of drama, and all drama is good drama. It doesn't matter what we strive for, only that we strive. They ascend out of the catacombs and make their way to a sidewalk cafe where they continue their conversation over coffee. Ariadne. They told me you had a wife, but the two of you got trapped in a place called Limbo. What happened? Dom. Her name was Mal. We were like actors in a movie, but she got so deep into her character that she forgot who she really was. Instead of playing the character began playing her. I tried to remind her, but I couldn't get her to believe that we were dreaming and that to wake up, we had to commit suicide together. Ariadne. Yeah, that would be a tough sell. Dom. So I had to enter her dreams and plant the idea in her head. Ariadne. Wow. You used hypnosis to make her commit suicide with you? That sounds like a terrible violation. Dumb? Not at all. It's called deception. You go into someone's dream and plant an idea so they think it's their own. Ariadne. And how is using mind control not the worst thing you can do to someone? Dumb. Think about it, isn't life just wall-to-wall deception? Government, business, news, education, advertising, healthcare, science, religion. It's all just a massive disinformation system, so what's the big deal? Ariadne. Hurting people like livestock is okay due to mass adoption? Dumb. My point is that it worked on Maul, but a little too well. Once we were out of limbo and back in our normal life, the deception was still planted in her head. She thought we were still stuck in limbo and that we had to kill ourselves again. Ariadne. Yeah, I can see where that would be a problem, but what does any of this have to do with me? What do you need me for? Dom. You're an expository device. I have to explain everything to you, and that's how the audience gets to understand what's going on. Ariadne. Looks around. What audience? Dom. I don't know, but we have to imagine there's an audience out there. Otherwise, we're just one hand clapping, a tree falling without making a sound. Ariadne. So someone's watching us right now? Are they dreaming too? Dom. Probably. Let's try to wake them up. A series of slow motion explosions blow the entire cafe scene to bits, including Dom and Ariadne. Deception, Act 2. Loading program. After the explosion at the cafe, Ariadne and Dom wake up on lounge chairs in a clean white warehouse. Sitting open between them is a high-tech briefcase. Tubes from the case plug into their arms. In the center of the case is a big red button. Ariadne. Holy shit. Where are we? Dom. This is a blank construct, like the loading program in The Matrix. Ariadne. But The Matrix is just a movie. Dom. As opposed to what? Ariadne. So we're in limbo right now? Dom. Limbo, dream state, matrix, whatever. Ariadne. But I'm a real person, so this must be real. Dom. There are no real people in limbo. You identify with the character you play, but there's no authentic connection because there's no authentic you. Ariadne. You're saying that I'm not really me? Dom. No more than you're Winston Churchill or Aunt Jemima. You're simply the zero point of awareness in a constantly rendering multi-sensory 3D game space viewed through an avatar called Ariadne. Ariadne. Then who's doing the rendering? Who's doing the viewing? Dom. God, Brahman, Aunt Jemima, take your pick. Ariadne. Then how do I know what's real? Dom. Who says anything is real? Come on, I'll show you. Dom pushes the big red button. They both fall asleep in their lounge chairs and wake up together on a path in a lush, tropical setting. They talk as they stroll. Ariadne. Wow. So I'm still dreaming right now? Dom. You're always dreaming. That's what I never understood. I thought there was such a thing as real reality, but there's only layer upon layer of limbo. Ariadne. How can there be no real reality? If we wake up, what do we wake up to? What's left when the dream is gone? Dom. There's nothing outside of dreaming. Limbo is all we have. Ariadne. It actually seems kind of obvious now that I'm thinking about it. How do we manage to stay asleep? Dom. By not thinking about it. Emotion is the ballast that holds us down in the dark. Thought is the knife that cuts ballast away and lets us ascend into the light. Ariadne. But those people in the catacombs were so spiritual. Dom. Spirituality is a crutch for people who can't handle truth. If you have trouble keeping your mind subdued, you have to redirect it into designated safe zones like religion and spirituality. Ariadne. I'm feeling very conflicted right now. Dom. That's your thinking mind struggling against emotional sedation. Don't worry, it will pass. Come on, I'll show you the part where I talk my wife into committing suicide. They enter a clearing with a swimming pool. Maul, in a bikini and sunglasses, lies on a chaise lounge sunning herself. She sips from a glass with a straw and an umbrella. Dom. This is what happened. Dom approaches Maul and casts a shadow over her. Maul, in a charming French accent. You stand in my sun. Dom. I know you don't believe it, Maul, but none of this is real. We're living in a shared dream. Mal. Again with this dream nonsense. You are telling me that reality is not real? Dom. Well, this reality isn't real. There might be a real world out there somewhere, but this ain't it. Mal. Then what is this place where we have lived for so many years? Dom. This is called limbo. You used to know that, but you lock the knowledge deep inside. In order to get to the real reality, we have to wake up, which means we have to kill ourselves together. Mal. How romantic. You should create a line of greeting cards. Dom. I'm serious, Mal. Dying is our only way out. Mal. And how should we be doing the dying? Dom. I suggest we lie down on the railroad tracks and the train will wake us up. Mal. You mean the train will squish our heads? This is your big idea? Dom. Well, yeah, but our heads aren't really real, so we'll just wake up out of limbo. Mal. I have to say, your plan is very stupid. Dom. It's not very stupid. It's very smart. Mal. Okay, well, why don't you go to the smart head squishing thing and I'll stay here and drink stupid my dies. Dom. No, Mal, we have to kill ourselves together. That's what love means. Mal. That's what being in a cult means. Dom. But none of this is real. Mal. Okay, fine, but what is so terrible about not real? Not real is okay. We get to design the world and make it how we like. In your real reality, do I still get to create with my mind? Dom. It's not so simple in the real world. Mal. Okay then, what's so bad about here? If you were saying that in this real world of yours we would be super beautiful and super rich with many admirers and servants. Dom, snaps his fingers. Oh yeah, that's right. I just remembered. In the real world you and me are megastars. We work in a dream factory and we're rich and everyone loves us. It's all coming back to me now. Mal. That sounds much better. You should have said that first instead of the head squishing thing. Let's go kill ourselves. First I finish bronzing, then we go. Dom returns to Ariadne and they continue their stroll. Ariadne. Wow, that deception you planted in her mind really worked. How long were you guys in limbo? Dom. Decades, though it was only a few hours in this world. Time has no meaning in limbo. 5 minutes can be 100 years. Ariadne. 100 years. Who'd want to be stuck in a dream for 100 years? Dom. Depends on the dream. Ariadne. So the deception you planted in Mal's mind worked? You killed yourselves and woke up? Dom. It worked too good. It never stopped working. Mal just wanted to keep going further and further. A door appears on their path. Dom and Ariadne step through the door into a ransacked hotel suite. Dom. This is what happened. Dom goes to the window. Mal sits in the window of an identical suite across the alley about to jump. Her legs dangle over the void, one shoe drops into the darkness. Dom. Holy shit, Mal. What are you doing over there? Why are you hanging out of an open window? Mal. Because we must jump now, you and I together. Just like before with the train and the head squishing. We must die together so we can wake up. Dom. But we're already awake. This is the real world. If you jump, you'll die. This is where we want to be, here in America with our kids living the dream. Mal. We are not awake, we are still trapped in this stupid limbo. Why are you trying to make it nice and pretend it's okay? I thought you were Mr. Reality Guy, now you're Mr. Happy Pants. Dom. I think positive emotion trumps negative emotion every time. Mal. You have said a very silly thing. Positive emotion is the fart of a unicorn, yes? A tiny little rainbow poof. It is cute, yes, but that's all. It trumps nothing, it changes nothing, it does not, how you say? Dash get shit done. Dom. Snookums, I think you're making too much. Mal. Positive emotion makes people sit on their ass and get fat and go nowhere and do nothing. Negative emotion burns. It makes heat and energy and change. What does the asshole of the unicorn give us? Flowery stink, that's all. Dom. Wow, you've really given this some thought. Mal. To say I like happy thoughts is to say I give up. I am afraid of my own life. I do not like this game and do not wish to play. I want to stay safe in the harbor and never set sail on the voyage of life. I spit on your stupid positive emotion. It is fear. It is death. Dom. Listen, Pooty Bird, that's no reason to jump. Maul. Don't you Pooty Bird me. This is why we must jump. We must die together. This isn't real. We must die from the dream to awaken to the real. It scares you because you think this world is real, but you are deceived. This is just another level of deception. You think we escaped from limbo, but we are still here. Dom. But baby, this is real. I planted that deception in your mind when we were in limbo and it's still in there making you think you have to keep going further, but there is no further. We're here. This is it. This is the real world. Maul. You are very wrong. We are still in limbo. This is the great big joke you do not get. Wherever we go, we are always in limbo. Dom. You're just mad because I planted the deception in your mind. Please calm down and back away from the ledge. Maul. I will not calm down, I am on fire. You were once on fire too, but now your flame has gone out and you are scared like a baby. You say to me, Maul, don't be a crazy lady, relax and be happy like me, but I have had enough of your pretend happiness. I will find my way out of this maze if I have to jump out 1,000 windows and have my head squished 1,000 times. Dom. That's not you talking. That's just the deception I planted in your head so we could get out of limbo. It worked. Now we're here. We can stop now. Maul. There is no stopping. Do not be so eager to feast on yummy lies. I ask you, where is the dream factory you promised? Where are my servants and fans? This is not the real world. This is just another layer of bullshit cake. Come, let us jump to our deaths and awaken together. Dom. You don't understand. Maul. It is you who does not understand. Ned. I'm afraid neither of you understand. Dom turns to find Ned standing behind him. Ariadne looks on. Dom. Jesus Christ, who the hell are you? Ned. Ned McFeely. I'm the author of this scene. It seemed like it was getting bogged down in all this quibbling, so I thought I'd pop in and give it a little tweak. Dom. You're not the author of me. I'm a self-determined individual. I have free will. Ned. There, see? That's what I mean. Your dialogue is stilted and boring. Let's explore your character's motivation. Maul. Dommy Bear? Who is that man with you? Dom. No one, babe, just the author. Ned, to Dom. Okay, so you locked something away, something deep inside, the truth that you had once known, but chose to forget. Maul. Yoo-hoo. Mr. Author. I was just now telling him this. Dom. It's like something in my solar plexus that just keeps churning so I can never relax. Ned. Yes, and someday it will burst out of your chest like an alien and you will give birth to yourself. Until then, you're like a caterpillar dreaming of butterflies. Dom. Then who am I really? I mean, really really, Ned. If you are aware, then you are awareness. Dom. Well, I guess that's not nothing. Ned. It's the only something there is. Dom. Then maybe dreaming ain't so bad. Ned. Depends on the dream. Maul. Hello, sweetie pie? Remember me, your wife? I'm sitting on a ledge about to jump to my death, care to join me? Dom. Yeah, just a minute honey britches. Maul. Don't you honey britches me. Are we going to jump together or not? Dom, to Maul. We're working on that right now butter buns. Just a second. Dom, to Ned. So all these levels of dream and reality, you're saying that none of it is real? Ned. Or you can say it's all real but none of it is true. Isn't that the nature of a dream? Real but not true? Maul. Hello, darling? What are you doing that's more important than jumping to your death right now? Dom. Just having a chat, my little albatross. Be right with you. Ned. In order to be reborn, one must first be unborn. Dom. You mean, die. Ned. Same difference. Dom. Like by jumping out a window or getting run over by a train? Ned. Dramatic but messy. The only real way to awaken from the dream of selfhood is through the process of focused thought. Emotionally suppressed thought leads to deeper sleep. Emotionally fueled thought leads to dream destruction and awakening. Dom. Suicide by thought? Ned. To be born into lucidity, you must die out of wrong knowing. Dom. I don't want to die, I want to be me, but I also want to wake up. Ned. That's what those people in the opium den were trying to do, wake up without leaving the dream, but despite what they promise in the village of flatulence, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It's one or the other. Wake up or stay asleep. Dom. So what do I have to do to wake up? Why shouldn't I join her in jumping to our deaths? Ned. I didn't say you shouldn't. Dom. Well, damn it, I'm not gonna jump. Maul. Okay, pussy boy, I go alone. Dom, rushes to window. Maul, wait. No. Maul. See you in my dreams. Au revoir. A trailing off scream is heard. Dom wails in despair. Dom. Oh, Maul, baby. What have I done? I killed you. Oh my god. Dom turns angrily on Ned. You bastard. This is all your fault. Ned. It feels like the scene is dragging. Dom. What are you saying? My wife just committed suicide. Oh my god, my poor baby. Ned. I think we've reached the end of your character arc. Dom. What the hell are you talking about? Jesus, buddy, can't you see I'm grieving here? Ned. Your character is stuck. I think you need a little push. Dom. Holy shit, are you crazy? Don't you understand? My wife just jumped out the fucking. Ned pushes Dom out the window. Ned turns to Ariadne. Is it just me or was it getting a little whiny in here? Ariadne. You can see me? Ned. I see all. Ariadne. What happens now? Ned. I write the press junket scene. Ariadne. What about me? Ned. You're just words on a page, Ellen. Deception, Act 3, Dream Factory. Marion and Leo sit in Ray's director's chairs. An Inception movie poster hangs behind them with a tagline, "Your mind is the scene of the crime." They chat between interviews. Marion. I hate these press junkets. 200 interviews in 3 days, always the same questions over and over. And we must always smile and pretend they're all so new and clever. Leo. I know. They should just use impersonators so we can get on with other projects. Bob bounds in carrying blue 4x6 index cards. He takes the interviewer's seat facing Leo and Marion. Bob. Impersonators would only work if they didn't know they were impersonators. Leo and Marion laugh uncomfortably at being overheard. Leo. Hey, yeah, that's right. Marion. You're so clever. Bob gets comfortable in his raised director's chair, checks his notes. Bob. Which means, you guys might be the impersonators. Marion and Leo laugh nervously. Bob. Just kidding, guys. Hey, I'm Bob and I can tell you this is a real treat for me, a real treat. Wow, look at you guys, young, beautiful, super rich, super famous, adored by millions. Living the dream. Marion, aside to Leo. Leo, this man is frightening me. Bob. What's it like being global superstars? Pretty fun, I bet. Leo. Your name is Bob? Bob. Yes, I am Bob. Leo. Bob what? Bob checks cards. Just Bob. Leo. No last name? Bob. Most of the main characters in your movie only had one name. Leo. Yeah, but this is real life. Bob. Oh, that's marvelous, let me write that down. This is real life, pure gold. They'll put me on the Paris desk after this. Marion. France? Bob. Hilton. So guys, wow. So first off, let me just thank you for your patience with me, I'm pretty new at this interviewing stuff. Leo. You're doing fine, Bob. Marion. Yeah, so good. Bob. Great, so let's see, I only have a few minutes with you guys, so here we go. Question 1, how do you know you're not still in limbo? Marion? Marion. What do you mean limbo? Like in the movie? Leo, is this man asking if we're still in the movie? Leo. Hey buddy, I don't think that's an approved question. Try again. Bob. Okay. Leo, you were Dom down in limbo but you came up through all those dream levels until you were back in America with your children, but then you came up another level and now you're a rich and famous movie star working in a dream factory and adored by millions. Do you wonder if you might not have a little more waking up to do? Leo. Listen, pal, you don't have a lot of time. Are you sure this is how you want to use it? Marion. These are very bad questions, mister. Bob. So you're staying in character for the press junket? How wonderful. Leo. We're not in character now, we're us. This is who we really are. We're actors. Bob. Sure, I get it. So let's see, first you're both dream pioneers exploring internal realms and using deception on other people and each other and growing old together in limbo, and now you're rich beautiful megastars doing a press junket for your massive global fanbase. Do you think it's at least possible that you're actually a couple of fat slobs living in a trailer park in Asshat, Kansas playing a virtual reality game you got for Christmas? Leo. What? No, seriously? No, wait, what? Marion. That is quite absurd. Bob checks his cards. Oh, I'm sorry, my assistant must have given me the wrong notes. Let's see, gosh, it says here that you're really a couple of guys, brothers actually, living in a trailer and here we go, fun fact, you save all your beer cans throughout the year until they cover the floor of your trailer. You call it your Christmas fund because you redeem them all in December to get yourself something special. Gosh, isn't that nice? The reason for the season, right guys? Marion. Leo, why does he keep calling me a guy? Leo. What the hell are you talking about, buddy? Bob. So this year, you guys treated yourself to a virtual reality game called Inception. Sound familiar? No? I'm your game host and you are now starting a new level called Dream Factory. Is any of this ringing a bell? Leo. You're full of shit, dude. Bob. Amazing tech, right? People put on that VR headset and just get lost in the game space. Marion. Did Chris send you? Is this one of his little jokes? Leo. You're saying this isn't real and that Marion and I are actually brothers living in a trailer park in Kansas? Bob. Roger. Leo. Bob. Roger Leo. Marion. Please no. Leonardo, make the bad man stop. Leo. I'm trying Maul, I mean Marion. Bob. She's Ronnie, you're Harlan. Leo. Yeah, listen buddy, I don't know how you got past my people. Bob. No one here but us chickens, Dom. Leo, angrily. My name is Leo. Dom was just a character I played. You got that? Bob, writing. Just a character I played, got it. Marion. Then why do I not behave like this Ronnie person? Why am I so naturally me? Bob. Super question. The game interface converts emotional impulses into character-appropriate behaviors. You're not just playing Marion, you have been digitally remastered into Marion. It's not just a costume you wear, you are mentally and emotionally integrated with the character, just like real life. Dom. Then who is Ariadne? Bob refers to his notes. It says here your weed dealer stopped by and you gave him the tour. Marion. Leonardo, help me. Leo. So what's next in your little game? We turn into these trailer park bums and then what? That's just another level of limbo that we have to make our way out of? Bob, checks notes. I don't have answers regarding levels you haven't reached yet, so I guess you just keep going. Further. Onward and upward. Leo. Listen, buddy, we exist just as much as you do. Bob. Oh, I don't exist. The system calls and I appear. Marion. Leo, please. I don't want to be fat and stupid and live in a tiny house with wheels. Leo. He didn't say we were fat and stupid. Bob. You are. Marion. I want to stay as Marion. I want to be me, Leo. I want to stay as us. I like being Marion. Bob. Naturally, everyone wants to be Marion and Leo forever, beautiful, rich, adored, living the dream. No one wants to pull off the headset and wake up back in Kansas. Unfortunately, there's no such thing as Marion and Leo, those are just fancy game avatars that were whipped up by our coding and design teams. Leo. Jesus, Marion, I think it's true. I'm starting to remember. Marion. No, Leo, don't remember. I don't want truth, I want beauty, I want to stay here, I want to be Marion and Leonardo forever. Leo. You're the one who jumped out a window to wake up. Marion. That was my goddamn character. Leo. You're a goddamn character. Marion pulls out her phone. I'm calling my agent. Leo, to Bob. So what's next for us? Where do we go from here? Bob. We wrap up the interview and the next guy comes in to ask about the movie and life goes on. Marion puts down her phone. So we're not in limbo? We get to stay as Marion and Leo? Bob. Well, you're always in limbo, it's turtles all the way down, but you can remain in character as long as you want, or finish this level and go up to the next. You saw Mr. Anderson in The Matrix, right? Instead of continuing up another level, he decided to stay as Neo and play goth Superman. Why not? That's what the game is for. Leo. But then he woke up as Keanu? Bob. Sure, and he got to be a movie star for a while, but then Keanu woke up as Marcy Lund, a 12-year-old girl from Oxnard playing a game called The Matrix. And when she finished the game, she unlocked an Easter egg and found herself strapped into a chair in a high-tech memory implant lab from which she escaped and went on to save Mars from greedy industrialists, and now she's a bodybuilder, movie star and governor of California in a bonus level called True Lies, Leo. And in our next level we're a couple of fat lazy brothers? Bob. Unless you find the little door that leads into the mind of John Malkovich. Leo. And after that? Bob. I guess you'll find out when you get there. Leo. But it does go on? Bob. Well, heck yeah. The game space keeps rendering wherever you go. Move up, go back down, hop around wherever you like. Marion. No, Leo, no. We must stay here. We must remain in this level forever. It can never be better than this. I want to stay in Dream Factory forever. Don't make me go to asshole Kansas. Leo. But it's not real, Marion. This is all fake. We're dreaming and we have to wake up and the only way is to follow the white rabbit and take the red pill and go up through all the levels. Marion. But if it's all limbo, who cares? If it's all bullshit, why not pick happy bullshit? I like this bullshit. This is good bullshit. Don't make me go to Kansas. I don't want to be a fat stupid American. Marion stands and clicks her heels together. There's no place like Hollywood. There's no place like Hollywood. There's no place like... Leo. It's just another level, babe. Marion, pleading. Let's stay here. Everything is perfect here. We are rich and famous and beautiful here. Leo. We can't live a lie. Marion. Of course we can, everyone does. Leo. But it's not true. Marion. So what if it's not true? There is no truth, that's what this ridiculous Bob man just told you. There is no true level, so we just pick the one we like. I like this one. Don't make me be poor and smelly. Bob. Would you like to access the built-in help wizard? Leo. You have a goddamn wizard? Marion. Tell your goddamn wizard I want to stay in goddamn Oz. Deception, Act 4. The Help Wizard. Bob, Leo and Marion sit in Ray's director's chairs waiting for the help wizard to boot up. An old fella in gray hair and beard, a well-worn coat and floppy fedora shuffles in. Walt examines his clothing, rubs his hands together, feels his face. I sing the body electric. I cannot be awake, for nothing looks to me as it did before, or else I am awake for the first time, and all before has been a mean sleep. Dom. Santa Claus. Marion. My God, an angel with no wings. Walt. Neither Santa nor angel, merely a man. Walt Whitman, a cosmos, of Manhattan the sun. Turbulent, fleshy, sensual, eating, drinking and breeding. No sentimentalist, no stander above men and women or apart from them. No more modest than immodest. Leo, shaking Walt's hand. Oh, hi Walt. I'm Leo. I like to eat and drink too. I'm not sure about that other stuff. Bob. Walter is your help system avatar. Leo. No shit. Say there, Walt, this guy here, Bob. Bob. Leo. Yeah, this Bob guy is saying that this whole deal, you know, me and Marion being movie stars and stuff, he says it's not really real, like there's no meaning to any of it. Walt. Have you felt so proud to get at the meaning of poems? Stop this day and night with me and you shall possess the origin of all poems. Leo. Who said anything about poems? Walt. You shall no longer take things at second or third hand, nor look through the eyes of the dead, nor feed on the specters in books. Marion. Specters? Leo. Books? Walt. You shall not look through my eyes either, nor take things from me. You shall listen to all sides and filter them from yourself. Leo. Say what? Walt. You shall not look through my eyes. Leo. No, listen bud, we got a situation here. Me and this lady, we're like big Hollywood movie stars. As you can see, we're very attractive and talented and rich, and everyone wants to be just like us, okay? Walt. This day before dawn I ascended a hill and looked at the crowded heaven, and I said to my spirit, when we become the enfolders of those orbs, and the pleasure and knowledge of everything in them, shall we be filled and satisfied then? And my spirit said, no, we but level that lift to pass and continue beyond. Leo. Do what? Walt. Level that lift to pass and continue beyond. Leo. What the hell does that mean? Bob, is this thing even working? Bob. The help wizard is still in beta. Leo. Bullshit, this guy is straight out of central casting. Walt. If you would understand me, go to the heights or water shore. Leo. Bob here says you don't even exist, Walt. I exist as I am, that is enough. Leo. I'm talking about reality, pal. Ever heard of it? Walt. I accept reality and dare not question it. Marion. I think it only has certain lines, like an actor reading a script. You must be asking the right questions. Leo. Listen, buddy, we're actors too, that's what we do, we play characters, okay? Walt. There was a child went forth every day and the first object he looked upon that object he became. And that object became part of him for the day or a certain part of the day or for many year, or stretching cycles of years. Leo. What the hell are you talking about? Marion. Leo, why does he talk so funny? Leo. I don't know. Maybe it's like a Shakespeare thing. I played Romeo once, I speak a little Shakespeare. Marion. You played a half-wit too. Do you speak a little moron? Leo. You're not helping here, doll. I'm trying to learn how this guy works. Walt. Have you learned the lessons only of those who admired you and were tender with you and stood aside for you? Have you not learned great lessons from those who braced themselves against you and disputed passage with you? Marion. Mister, please, we wish only to know what is our situation. Walt approaches Marion, takes one of her hands in both of his and speaks tenderly. I could sing such grandeurs and glories about you. You have not known what you are. You have slumbered upon yourself all your life, your eyelids have been the same as closed most of the time. What you have done returns already in mockeries. The mockeries are not you, underneath them and within them I see you lurk. I pursue you where none else has pursued you. Marion. But then, am I me or not me? Who am I? Walt. Whoever you are, I fear you are walking the walk of dreams. I fear these supposed realities are to melt from under your feet and hands. Marion. Frankly, sir, this news comes a little late. Walt kisses her hand and gently strokes it. I should have made my way straight to you long ago. None has done justice to you. You have not done justice to yourself. I only find no imperfection in you. Marion. It's true, critics can be so unkind. What must I do? Walt. Whoever you are, claim your own at any hazard. Undrape. Marion. Undrape? How can you say such a thing? You say one thing, then you say the opposite. Walt. Do I contradict myself? Very well, then I contradict myself. I am large, I contain multitudes. Marion. You are supposed to help, but you talk in riddles. Walt. I am this mystery, here we stand. Marion. But I too am here. I am real. Walt. The powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. Marion darkens, pulls her hand back. You are being a little annoying right now. Do you know who I am, Walt? Whoever you are, motion and reflection are especially for you. The divine ship sails the divine sea for you. Marion brightens. Oh, that's much better. That sounds nice. Leo, did you hear that? The divine ship sails the divine sea for me. Leo. What are you listening to this guy for? He's just an actor repeating the same lines over and over. Walt. I contain multitudes. Leo. There, see? Marion. Can no one give me a simple answer? Walt. You are also asking me questions and I hear you. Marion. Wonderful. Then please answer. Who am I? Am I a real person? Walt. I answer that I cannot answer, you must find out for yourself. Marion. This is not good help. I feel like I'm in a bad dream and cannot wake up. Walt. Long enough have you dreamed contemptible dreams. Now I wash the gum from your eyes. You must habit yourself to the dazzle of the light and of every moment of your life. Leo. That's it. I've had about enough of this guy. Walt. Take warning, I am surely far different from what you suppose. Leo. I suppose you're supposed to be helping. Walt. Do you see no further than this facade? Have you no thought, O dreamer, that it may be all Maya, illusion? Leo. I don't want to hear any more of this dream bullshit. Walt. This is curious and may not be realized immediately, but it must be realized. Leo. I have to realize reality's not real? Really? Jesus, I can't tell if this guy's talking to us or just talking. Marion. What, sir? What must we realize? Leo. If you get a straight answer out of this guy, it'll be a miracle. Walt. Who makes much of a miracle? I know of nothing else but miracles. To me, every hour of the light and dark is a miracle. Leo. That sounds like a load of crap. All we're getting from this guy is more lies. Walt. There is no lie, or form of lie, and can be none, but grows as inevitably upon itself as the truth does upon itself. Leo angrily grabs Walt by the lapels. What are you saying, buddy? That it's okay if the whole world is a lie? Walt, unruffled. I feel in myself that I represent falsehoods equally with the rest, and that the universe does. Marion. But sir, how can you help us if you don't speak the truth? Walt. Where has failed a perfect return, indifferent of lies or the truth? Leo releases Walt in disgust. Oh boy, here we go. Walt. Meditating among liars, and retreating sternly into myself, I see that there are really no liars or lies after all, and that nothing fails its perfect return, and that what are called lies are perfect returns, and that each thing exactly represents itself and what has preceded it, and that the truth includes all and is compact just as much as space is compact, and that there is no flaw or vacuum in the amount of the truth, but that all is truth without exception. Marion. What, Leo? What is he trying to say? Leo. I think he's saying that nothing is real, or maybe it's all real in a kind of unreal way, something like that. Like we should just relax and make the best of it and not ask too many questions. Marion. Yes. That's what I say too. Let's stay here and be happy and not worry about silly truth. Let us not disturb the delicate web of this sparkly silvery world. I like being a movie star. Leo. This isn't a very helpful help wizard, Bob. Bob. There's a scheduled update in the next version. I think they're giving him sunglasses. Leo. We're not getting anywhere with this guy. Bob. Computer, end program. Walt gives Bob the finger and shuffles out. Leo. Listen, Marion, I'll tell you a riddle. You're waiting for a train. Marion. Oh no, Leo, not again with the fucking train. Leo opens his jacket, exposing a bomb vest with a blinking red light. In his hand is a wired device with a red button. Leo. You're waiting for a train. Marion. No, Leo, please, shut up about the stupid train. Leo. A train that will take you far away. Marion. I don't want to go anywhere, I want to stay here. I don't care about truth, I want beauty. They are not the same. Leo. You know where you hope this train will take you, but you don't know for sure. Marion. Fuck truth. I want beauty and happiness and money and stardom. I want to be chic and fabulous and live forever. I don't want to be fat and stupid and live in a tiny house. Leo, please. Leo. How can it not matter where the train takes you? Marion. No, Leo, please let's stay here. It's so nice here. We're so happy, so rich, so pretty. Leo. How can it not matter where the train takes you? Marion. No, Leo, no, I do not wish to go. Leo. How can it not matter where the train takes you? Marion sighs in resignation. Because we'll be together. Leo. See you in the next life, doll. Leo presses the button. Deception, Act 5. Asshole, Kansas. After Leo detonated his bomb vest, we find two fat slobs slumped on a couch surrounded by crushed beer cans and half-eaten pizzas. They remove their techie headsets and survey their bleak surroundings. Ronnie. Aw, goddammit, Harley. Why'd you go and do that for? Harlan. Had to do it, bro. Gotta keep it real. Ronnie. We're trying to escape reality, not get back to it. Harlan. You were smoking as that actress lady, bro. I was getting some thoughts. Ronnie. Damn, bro, that was sweet. We could have stayed on that level forever. We could have hooked up and been like Hollywood royalty. Harlan. Strap it down, bro. What happens in limbo stays in limbo. Ronnie. Yeah, but they said it was, all, limbo, like maybe this here is limbo too. Harlan. Don't be a dumbass. How can this be limbo if this is where we got the game? Ronnie. Damn, I was getting used to that shit. Being all fancy and glamorous and whatnot. I think I was Edith Piaf for a while. I regret nothing. Harlan. Don't tell me everything, bro. I want to be the French broad next time. There's a knock on the door. They pause in silence. Another knock. Ronnie yells. We ain't got no money for weed, Herbert. Bob. Hey guys. It's me, Bob. Remember, from the press junket? Come on, open up, I have some good news. Ronnie. That guy was in the game. How can he be here? Harlan. He said he was the game host. Ronnie. Shit, dude, I told you. We're into some weird shit here. Harlan. How do we get out? Ronnie. I don't want to get out, I want to get back to the good parts where it don't smell like stale beer and piss all the time. Harlan. Yeah, that French lady smelled nice. Ronnie. Dude, that was me. More knocking. Bob. It's okay, fellas, I'm just delivering your Easter egg. You're going to Westworld where you get to play people who find out they're actually robots who want to become real people. It's a hoot. You get to have a lot of sex and do a lot of killing. Ronnie. I like sex. Harlan. How do you know? You ain't never had none. Ronnie. Well, I like killing. Harlan. Yeah, me too. Ronnie. What do you say, bro? Stay or go? Harlan. Well, it's either piss and beer or sex and killing. They get to their feet. There is a louder, more insistent knocking at the door. Harlan. Yeah, yeah, okay, Bob, we're coming. Picard, yelling from outside the door. Commander Riker, is that you? Thank goodness. Is Counselor Troy with you? You've been drugged and trapped in the holodeck by an alien entity called the Scribe. We're trying to lock onto your signal. Stand by for transport. Ronnie. Whoa, dude. Harlan. Shit, bro, I didn't see that one coming. Ronnie. Wait a minute, which of us is which? I want to be the lady again. Harlan. Bro, when you and me are you and me again, we gotta have a long talk. This game is whacking you out. Ronnie takes Harlan by the shoulders. No, I regret nothing. Not the good things that have happened nor the bad, it's all the same to me. I don't care about the past. I set fire to my memories. My troubles, my pleasures, I don't need them anymore. I'm starting over, because my life, my joy, today it begins with you. Harlan. Aw shit. Enterprise. This is, oh hell, I don't know anymore. Due to beam directly to sickbay. The end. Join us next time when the boys return home to find a featureless black monolith in their living room. Thank you for listening to Deception by Ned McFeely. This audio edition and the PDF version are free to share and distribute. Visit wisefoolpress.com, jedmckenna.com and jedveda.com to learn more about the Enlightenment Trilogy, Dreamstate Trilogy and the Jed Talks Trilogy by Jed McKenna. Thank you.